You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
I'm your host, Matt Hicks, the FF Educator, joined, as always, by John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar, and Skip Newton here on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. We are here for week three of the college football season, covering news and notes, our marvelous matchup, CFF sleepers, best bets, and some DFS content to round it all out. Gentlemen, we call it the Blitz because we are dropping a lot of information on a wild slate here for week three in a concise and knowledgeable fashion. John, Skip, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. I just love this time of the year. I'm starting to get a feel for the better teams in the nation, some of the better players. Unfortunately, we have some disappointments. Devy community, people are rising and falling. College fantasy football teams, some players aren't performing. But I really feel like I feel good about this year. There's no more trepidation, no more nervousness. I know where teams, I believe, are heading. So I love this time of the year.
Yeah, this is awesome. I'm excited about it, too. It's a fantastic time for football. I can't believe it's the middle of September already. To be honest, I'm ready for the fall weather. You know, we're still getting up
in the
80s at times here in Minnesota. I'm ready for 60s. I need 60s. But other than that, man, it's great. Matt, how are you?
Man, Skip, I am shaking my head at you complaining about the 80s there in Minnesota. Listen, we still have 95 and humid here in the state of Maryland. It is thick outside, man. I'm still dripping walking around, so I'm gonna be heading back up to New England here, and I'm seeing 70s in the forecast. So John, you better—
Yeah, I think you're gonna get lucky, but it was extremely hot and humid the last 2 days in Connecticut.
All right, moving a quick producer's note here.
Yeah.
Moving forward, Skip and John are going to be taking the reins of the show here for the next few weeks. I will be back, but I am taking time away from the mic here. I actually, I believe by the time you're listening to this, we are under 10 days until the wedding. So I'm going to let these guys take over the mic here for the next few weeks. And also related, there will not be a Devy seminar episode this week. All right, so for week three of the college football season, week two of the NFL season, no Devy seminar episode. We're focusing on the Blitz this week. Gentlemen, with that in mind, let's go ahead and jump into things here with the news and notes. Florida redshirt freshman quarterback Anthony Richardson, who pulled up lame with a hamstring injury at the end of a long run last week, has practiced all week, and he should be good to go to play Saturday against Alabama. Gentlemen, if you ask me, I think it should be Anthony Richardson starting against Alabama. I just want to protect the young man's confidence. Speaking of quarterbacks here with lower body injuries, Tennessee redshirt junior Joe Milton has returned to practice after leaving Saturday's game against Pittsburgh with a lower body injury. Quite frankly, it looked like Hendon Hooker was an improvement to that offense, and it could have just looked like Joe Milton had gotten benched on his own. So definitely watch that one progress this weekend. Don't be surprised if Hendon Hooker ends up being the starting quarterback this week. I believe they play Tennessee Tech here this week, so you could be seeing some Harrison Bailey in the second half as well. Speaking of quarterbacks here, Georgia redshirt sophomore quarterback JT Daniels can is back to practicing. I think Georgia is using the word continues to improve with the oblique. So just keep an eye on that situation. Stetson Bennett looked good in relief last week. So, you know, we saw the good and the bad of Stetson Bennett last season. And, of course, it was UAB. So just keep an eye here on JT Daniels moving forward. Skip will be tracking closely Colorado sophomore running back Jarek Broussard this week because the Gophers are traveling to the Buffaloes here. Broussard is practicing, and he does expect to play this Saturday. Arizona State freshman running back DeMontre Tranium with an undisclosed injury. I believe he was seen with a boot this past weekend against UNLV. He has returned to practice for Arizona State. Expectation, at least in the early week, is that we may see him on the field. Gentlemen, things just keep going downhill here for LSU running back John Emery Jr. I think folks in the Devy community, it's finally time to give up on John Emery Jr. And for seasonal, it looks like it's time to give up as well. Emery Jr. has been ruled ineligible for the remainder of the season based on a conduct issue. So it looks like we're moving on in that LSU backfield without Emery Jr. Speaking of conduct issues, Colorado wide receiver Lavonte Chenault has been suspended from the team, although Colorado head coach Carol Durrell has not ruled out the idea that Chenault could be reinstated later on in the season.
Isn't that LaVisca Chenault's younger brother?
Yes, yep, it's his younger brother here. Has not quite lived up to the billing of Big Bro. Kansas State quarterback Skylar Thompson won't play against Nevada. He was a good DFS and seasonal play here, especially week one. It's going to be Will Howard for Kansas State. Speaking of quarterbacks that will not be playing this week, Texas A&M redshirt freshman Haynes King will miss time with a, quote, crack in his lower leg. That's the injury.
Not good.
I'm not a doctor, but when I see crack in lower leg, that's not the terminology that I want to see. It will be Zach Calzado, who struggled against Colorado. And we'll talk a little bit more here this episode if it was Calzado, if it was the Colorado defense. But I got to tell you, it did not look good for him last week. After missing the first two games of the season due to a lower leg injury, there's optimism around the Minnesota program that redshirt senior Chris Altman-Bell will be on the field this coming week. But again, this is a storyline that you're going to have to watch heading into Saturday. Oh, man, this one hurts. This one hurts. Boston College quarterback Phil Jurkovec, who I was just pushing for a top 2022 first-round quarterback. I wanted to push him into that conversation. Folks were just jumping on board. He left Saturday's game with a hand injury. He had surgery on that hand. He is expected to miss the remainder of the season. Gentlemen, we'll be back in 2023 for that draft cycle. We're going to push Jurkovec just as hard. But some good news here to round it out. Remember redshirt senior quarterback Brandon Peters for Illinois left the week one game against Nebraska. Well, he is going to be back in. He's expected to return as the starter for the Fighting Illini's week three game against the Terps. All right. Any reactions, any omissions, any additions?
First thing I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, you notice there's quarterbacks going down. This happens every year in college fantasy football. Work that waiver wire. Try to look right now on your team. Bye weeks are coming up. I do think there's some teams off in week four. And I know week seven is a monster week. If you look at your rosters right now, week seven is a nightmare for bye weeks. Do not get caught without two or three quarterbacks for these upcoming bye weeks. Work that waiver wire. We're having turnover, injuries, and I'm so upset about Jurkovec. I have Zay Flowers. The backup did not look good. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to get the ball to Zay Flowers, so I'm worried about that. But this is normal. There is always incredible turnover at the quarterback position. But look ahead. You might have a team with two quarterbacks off in week seven. Check your rosters. And how bad is that John Emery freshman class now looking? How many of those Devy running backs Marshawn Lloyd now is looking very iffy. Zamir White can't really get on the field too much, right? No. I mean, it's looking – that's what makes Debbie a challenge. We have this incredible group of running backs, and how many do you feel confident about now? I mean, John Emery, he was as talked about as anyone, and he just can't even get on the field, folks.
Yeah, that's a good point. It does open up the doors for freshman Corey Kiner at LSU, so I like that. And another running back injury, unfortunately, is Miami, Florida running back Donald Chaney Jr. out for the season as well with an ACL, so that's unfortunate news there.
And Cameron Harris is a nice pickup. He's not great, but if you need a body, there's some matchups. Cameron Harris might be able to help you.
There's some juice there. There's a little bit of juice, but it hasn't been consistent. So let's see if he can work with the volume. All right, gentlemen, let's go ahead and let's jump into our marvelous matchups of the week. Remember, our marvelous matchups of the week are the highest over-under plays as laid out by Vegas. For the most part, we try to include teams that are under or just about around a 10-point spread so that we're not just giving you blowout lines. But the reason, remember, that we go through our marvelous matchups is because when there's the higher over-under implication, right, there's going to be more fantasy value out there. So we're trying to give you that insight into the game. John, let's kick it off with a fun one. Who would have thought 3 weeks ago I would have been excited? But I am. Tulane, the Green Wave, they're going to travel to Ole Miss here. And it's the over-under of 76. Ole Miss is laying 14 points here. And did you guys see the Tulane helmets that they're rocking this week with the stickers on the back? The Tulane helmets are always amazing.
I love the Tulane helmets.
They put the stickers on the back that said SEC champions. I believe it was like 1938 or something.
Oh, really? I'm going to Google that when we're done with this show. I can't wait. And I am so fired up for this Tulane, Mississippi. Unfortunately, when I'm looking at the Tulane roster and how the offense works, there's really only one player I want. And that's Michael Pratt, the quarterback. We saw him play his heart out against Oklahoma. Last week was a blowout. He had a nice day. He scored over 20 fantasy points, but it was against an FCS opponent. In this matchup, when you have 76 points expected, you've got to like the underdog quarterback who can run. Love Michael Pratt in this game. I guess if you're desperate, Deuce Watts, the wide receiver, but he's not playing very well this year. And Cameron Carroll, the running back. But I'm not looking to start either. Mississippi. Okay, I'm not even going to mention Matt Carroll. He's an automatic. Jerron Ealy, believe it or not, despite Mississippi scoring all these points, I'm a little disappointed in Ealy. He's been good, but he's not been great. He hasn't hit like that 3-touchdown explosion. It's going to come. Somewhere along the line, Ely's going to get his 3 touchdowns. Just a matter of when, not if. You can play all 3 receivers. Braylon Sanders, Jonathan Mingo, and Dontario Drummond. Last I looked, Mingo was under 30% owned. Drummond was under 50% owned. I don't think you're going to be able to get Braylon Sanders. But run to your waiver wire right now. If you need a wide receiver, get Jonathan Mingo and Dontario Drummond. This offense is going to score all year, folks.
And it's going to be a great game to watch here. All right, Skip, I'm going to pass it on over to you here. UCF, the Golden Knights here, future members of the Big 12, coming up against traveling to Louisville here. The over-under 67.5. The Golden Knights are laying 7.
Yeah, I'm going to start with UCF. They have scored a whopping 99 points in 2 games, so almost a clean 100. Louisville's giving up 46 in 2 games, 43 of those coming against Ole Miss. I've got an A grade on Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback for UCF. I don't know how you can take him out of your lineup. 630 yards in those 2 games with 6 touchdowns and another 107 and a rushing score. So you got to have Gabriel in your lineup. I've got a good starting grade on running back Isaiah Bowser as well. He's had 231 yards and 5 scores along with 5 catches for 33 yards. So couple of good starts there for sure. Then I'm not so sure about these next two guys, but it depends on, you know, where you're at as far as if you got injuries, you got bye weeks. But a couple of wide receivers, I've given them C grades, Jalen Robinson and Brandon Johnson. Both have had decent numbers. Jalen Robinson with 8 catches for 187 and a score. Brandon Johnson, 12 for 128 and 2. So some decent options there. Again, depends on your roster makeup and where you're at, but you might be able to find somebody better out on the waiver wire. Moving over to Louisville, they've scored 54 points in 2 games. I've only got one starter on their roster. There's just a bunch of guys that really, I'm sure you have better options, and that's the quarterback Malik Cunningham. I'm giving him a B grade. He does have 469 passing yards and 2 scores, so the 2 touchdowns, not great as far as passing. However, he makes up for that with the 108 yards rushing and 4 scores there, so he's always a threat to put that one in the end zone. So I do like Malik Cunningham more from the rushing floor that he provides for your roster.
All right, saddle up, gentlemen. We're back on the ponies. It's SMU traveling to La Tech, Louisiana Tech. Over under is 66, and Louisiana Tech is getting 12.5 points to try and hang with SMU. Fellas, you know, we'll talk about our best bets of the week here, but the over is looking mighty tempting here in this matchup. In the first 2 weeks, SMU hung 56 on Abilene Christian. Then they come back with a 35 spot against North Texas. You have to be interested in the Ponies offense. And at the helm is going to be Tanner Mordecai. 45 for 63, 629 yards. Here's what we love. Here's what's juicy. 11 touchdowns and just 2 interceptions. And here's the key. The wide receiver you want, I know there's a lot of hype around Reggie Roberson, but it's Danny Gray. 9 receptions, 159 yards, 3 touchdowns through the first 2 games. And there's a lower level play with Grant Calcaterra here. Calcaterra with 3 touchdowns on 5 receptions. He's clearly being targeted in the end zone for the Ponies. Now, the running game's a little murkier here. I'm actually not all in on Ulysses Bennett. It looks like the attempts are being split fairly evenly. I got to tell you here, that's really what I'm focusing on in this game. The Louisiana Tech passing game, it's a little murky. There's not too much here. Kendall has not really found the end zone, although his completion rate has been decent. And then you look at targets. They're spreading it all around here. Means and Harris are probably the 2 top wide receivers to target. But again, this isn't really where I would be looking for if I was streaming. I would stream away from the Louisiana Tech side of things. But keep in mind here, they have given up 34 points against Mississippi State in week 1 and another 42 against, gosh, what is it, Southeast Louisiana? I got to be honest.
I believe it's Southeast Louisiana.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I've never heard of that school. And I... and I feel like I have a pretty dang good grasp on most schools. So the points are absolutely available. And, John, you can let me know if there's anybody on the La Tech side, but I'm all in on the Ponies offense, I think, for this matchup.
The only interesting player, in my opinion, on La Tech would be quarterback Austin Kendall, the former quarterback at West Virginia. If you do need a quarterback, he's home. He's an underdog. He's going to have to throw a lot in the second half. So I could run to my waiver wire in desperation to get Austin Kendall.
All right, gentlemen. Let's see if the state of Virginia can take a clean sweep against the Tar Heels here, because our next over-under is 66.5. UNC is laying 9 on this line. So why don't you go ahead and break down this game, Skip?
All right, starting with Virginia, they've got 85 points in 2 games, so they're definitely putting up great numbers. A grade on starting quarterback Brennan Armstrong. He has been absolutely outstanding. 744 yards, 7 touchdowns. He's also run in 2 additional scores. He's top 5, depending on your scoring system, so you can't take him out. I've got B grades on wide receiver Dontavian Wicks. 7 catches, 163 yards, and 2 scores. And then tight end Jelani Woods, just 6 catches, but 127 yards and a touchdown. So that's good yardage in 2 games for a tight end for sure. So take a look at Jelani Woods if he's available. My guess is he probably is. Then moving over to North Carolina, I got to go with the dynamic duel, the quarterback wide receiver combination, both A grades. Of course, Sam Howell, future probable first round pick. 560 yards, 4 touchdowns. So he's even, struggled, especially in that first game. However, he's ran the ball for 139 yards and 2 scores. So he's actually leading his team in rushing, which is very surprising given the fact that last season they had not one, but 2 running backs gain over 1,000 yards. So Howell getting it done both with his arms and his legs. And then, of course, his favorite target, wide receiver Josh Downs, has been absolutely outstanding. 16 catches, 196 yards, 2 scores. You have to have him in your lineup. He's moving up the Devy ranks as well. And he was featured in my most recent article out on the NFLDraftBible.com, in case you haven't seen that, the mailbag article. And I'm going to give a C grade on Ty Chandler. He's been disappointing for me. Just 124 yards and a touchdown. He's caught a couple passes. I honestly was hoping for more. I thought this might be a awesome move for him transferring from Tennessee. It just so far hasn't panned out. However, he's still getting the bulk of the carries, so I do like that. And if they can turn things around and start kicking out some better rushing yardage, he might be a guy that later on in the season we can depend on. Right now, it's iffy at best.
All right, here's an anticipated shootout between the Mississippi State Bulldogs and the Memphis Tigers. Over-under on this game is 64. Memphis is getting 3 points. John, I know this is a matchup that must just have you, big eyes and ready to start jotting down some notes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a Mike Leach offense. I'm going to put in Jaquavius Marks, the running back. I'm going to put in Jaden Whaley, the wide receiver. And obviously, Will Rogers is still under-owned in college fantasy football. If you have not been playing this game, I've been for 13 years. I drafted Michael Crabtree under Mike Leach. I've had tons of Mike Leach quarterbacks. The ceiling is so high. Go get Will Rogers. Now, Memphis. We are going to talk a boatload about Memphis. It is amazing what they put together with that turnover. I'm shocked and so happy to watch the Tigers with, we're going to talk about them in our sleepers column, but they have quadruple fantasy stars that have to be put in your lineup no matter what every week. Love this game with the 64. But what I like most is this is only a 3-point spread. Vegas is telling us both of these teams are going to be tight. And in the fourth quarter, the stars are going to be on the field.
All right. Our final marvelous matchup of the week is a matchup that would be easy to sleep on here, but there's definitely some offensive firepower here that you should not be just walking past. And that's going to be Charlotte at Georgia State, over under 63.5. Charlotte is getting 4 points in this game. Who are you looking for, John?
Love the quarterback, Chris Reynolds. I have him in 3 of my starting lineups. Now, I might, I always change things Saturday morning, but right now, after waiver wires, I put in my lineups. I have some injuries, and I decided I love Chris Reynolds in this matchup. I'm playing him. They have 2 receivers. If you need a wide receiver, Victor Tucker and Grant DuBose, both of them are going to light up this Georgia State secondary. Georgia State's 0-2. They're not good, folks. Charlotte is very good. So I love the passing game for the 49ers here. Georgia State, one of my biggest disappointments this year, has been Cornelius Brown, the quarterback. As a freshman last year, he was crazy up and down. I mean, he had games with over 30, and then he had a game where he had like 3 points. He's been terrible this year. Hoping for a bounce back at home this year, but I don't think I'd put him in my lineup. Too much risk. And their running game, Dustin Coates, he has not lived up to expectations. And Sam Pinckney was out for COVID week 1. And last week, I think he had 1 catch for like 3 yards. He was absolutely terrible. I have not cut him, but he's on my bench right now. But I do like this game. It's one I'm going to be watching very closely. But Chris Reynolds, Victor Tucker, and Grant DuBois, to me, are no-brainers on the waiver wire.
Yeah, Victor Tucker, I think I got him in both of my seasonal college football leagues in late rounds in the draft, and that is paying off for sure. All right, gentlemen, moving on here to our CFF sleepers of the week. And so we have each identified a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and flex option here. The point of this segment is to give you an idea of a player who could perform at a high level that maybe is not as expected to be, a player who may still be around on your waiver wire even after the initial clearing period. So, John, I'm going to let you kick us off here with your Fantastic Four CFF sleepers of week three.
As I mentioned earlier, you might need a quarterback. If you want a high floor with a nice ceiling, he probably doesn't have 33-point upside, but he has a real nice floor of 18 with 28-point possibility. Kenny Pickett of the Pittsburgh Panthers. He's available on 71% of CFF rosters right now. Pitt is a huge favorite versus Western Michigan. Their offense, I think they'll put up at least 4 touchdowns, and their running game is not very good. So very much, if you need a quarterback, go get Kenny Pickett. He's a great option as a second quarterback this week. And I had mentioned it earlier when I had discussed Memphis and how good and how quickly this team has turned it around. The early season star at running back is the nation's leading rusher. Let me repeat that. The nation's leading rusher. How much could you have gotten on Vegas? 800,000 to 1 that Brandon Thomas would be leading the nation in rushing after 2 weeks? He's been spectacular, ladies and gentlemen. He's playing Mississippi State in that high over-under. I'm not intimidated by the Bulldogs' defense. It's a Mike Leach defense. Ownership went up on Brandon Thomas, but it's still, I believe it's not over 50%. Do not let him remain on your waiver wire any longer. He is a great option at running back this week. Absolutely love him. And then as I was combing, one of my favorite things to do is Sunday night between the 4 o'clock games and the 8:15 kickoff. I love to look at the targets in college fantasy football because by about 6 or 7, the target data comes out for the weekend. And I'm shocked by this. Roderick Thomas in 2 games has 27 targets for North Texas, 18 receptions, 255 yards, and a touchdown. Go get Roderick Thomas. I will take any player that is targeted. He had 18 targets last week and 9 targets the week before. So I'll take that any day of the week. And I love Hawaii and the run and shoot. I've discussed him a little bit. Nick Gardner, the last 2 weeks for the Rainbows, he's had 14 targets for the year, 13 receptions, 242 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The only game that he played poorly in was that debacle against USC. The Rainbows were just overmatched against USC. Go get either Roderick Burns or Nick Mardner if you need a wide receiver or a flex play this week. Both of them are being targeted with nearly double-digit passes each week.
As always, some great deep diving here from John to find those guys. I talked about the SMU game a little bit earlier. I am all in on Tanner Mordecai this week. Another good matchup here. For the Ponies, we talked about just the absolute upside of the offense, and Tanner Mordecai is the quarterback that I am going all in on. I think because he got to a little bit of a slow start week 1, folks aren't quite all in on Mordecai yet, but I think we need to be all in on him. All right, looking at the running back position here, I got to tell you, gentlemen, I tried to dig really deep and really anticipate with these next three picks, so I'm projecting forward a little bit. But I'm going to go to Rutgers here. Rutgers has the honor of playing Delaware. gentlemen, are you familiar with the Delaware mascot?
Is it the Blue Hens or something?
The Blue Hens, yeah. They're going to take on the Delaware Blue Hens. And I expect Rutgers 2-0, Greg Schiano's undefeated Rutgers Scarlet Knights here to host Delaware. And I think they're going to do just fine against them. I think they're going to get up early. And so folks might be interested in Nick Vedral. The quarterback is the play this week. But I'm going to go with the running back, Isaiah Pacheco. And I want to preface this. He has gotten the volume, 33 attempts through the first two games, but just 85 yards, 2.6 yards per carry, and only one touchdown. It's not what you want to see, but I'm going to chase the volume here, and I'm going to chase the game script, and I'm going to imagine that against FCS Delaware, that Pacheco is going to be able to take advantage of that volume, find the end zone a couple times. So he's not my lock and loaded play, but if you're struggling a little bit, you need somebody to slide into that flex spot, I'm going to project forward a little bit here and go with Pacheco. All right, South Florida, I'm going to head to USF. USF has had a tough run of things here. A 45-0 blank in week one against North Carolina State and a 42-20 loss to Florida, which, you know, isn't too terrible. But they've kind of had a tough go of it the first 2 weeks. Week three, they are hosting Florida at Florida A&M University, FAMU. And so I'm going to look at their wide receiver here, Xavier Worthy. I've mentioned him before. Xavier Weaver, I apologize. He was really, in week one, the offense. He was the passing game, and he pulled in 4 for 141 in that week against NC State. Now, he didn't do anything last week, but – and so that's why he kind of becomes a sleeper for me, because I think folks are going to fall a little bit asleep on him. But I'm looking for him to have a high-volume workload when UCF can finally throw the ball. And I think they're going to take advantage of this week, because guess what? Next week they get BYU and they're going right back to the running game. So I think they're going to try to take advantage of their one-week reprieve. And then in a similar turn of events here, I'm going with Nick Starkel for San Jose State in my flex spot. You go back to Southern Utah, a week one, Nick Starkel, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. Remember, former FBS transfer, 394 yards. He gets USC this past week, and it looks bad. It's 2 interceptions. He still throws for 308 yards, but no touchdowns. Guess what? We don't get USC this week here for San Jose State. We get Hawaii, which is absolutely a defense that you can throw on. So I think Nick Starkel is a sleeper play of the week as well. All right, Skip, give us your Fantastic Four CFF sleepers for week three.
I do have to mention, I did not mean to pick all players that go to a school that start with a letter M. That is a complete coincidence.
I have to tell you, Skip, I was salty because you sniped one of my players here. That's what happens when you fill up the show sheet last. You get your players.
We always said that on my podcast. If you fill it out last, you lose on the sleepers.
Yeah, I deliberately got on here quickly so I could get them in before you, because I've had that to happen to be in previous weeks. But I'm going to start it off with quarterback Seth Hennigan from Memphis. He's available still in 23% of leagues, 682 yards passing with 6 touchdowns. He's a top 20 quarterback in fantasy football. Great pickup there if you need a quarterback. Moving on to my guy, University of Minnesota, Treyson Potts.
Woo-hoo!
34% of the leagues he's available in, 178 yards and 2 touchdowns against Miami of Ohio. Now, of course, not every week's going to be that good of a matchup, but he is clearly the guy at Minnesota taking over for Ibrahim. I mean, he got the ball over 30 times. I expected to be a little more of a shared backfield. That just was not the case. They went right into workhorse mode with Potts. He looked very good. He's the guy you want to own, and I think he's going to be putting up really good numbers all season long, because the volume is just going to be insane if they continue to use him in that manner. Next guy, sticking in the Big Ten, Jaden Reed from Michigan State. Still available in 31% of the leagues, but he's had great production despite the fact that he's only caught 9 passes, a whopping 245 yards and 2 touchdowns. Whoa! Makes him a top 20 wide receiver. So I like Reed at Michigan State. He's the number one guy there. And then When I first put this guy's name on the sheet, Blake Corum at Michigan, he was available in 44% of the leagues. That has now jumped up to 70%. So clearly people are starting to take notice. But still, the fact that he's available in 30% of your leagues, that's a crying shame, guys.
It is.
I mean, 282 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's caught the ball 5 times for 33 yards and another score. I mean, I'm not sure what more this guy needs to do. He's near the top in running back scoring. Blake Corum's legit. I mean, I was not high on him coming into the season, and so far I'm taking an L on Corum. He looks fantastic.
He does look very good, much better than I thought.
That was the guy that you sniped from me. I wanted to put Corum down on here.
All right, hey, Matt, you got him in our listener league. You picked him up on the waiver wire.
Hey, I had to get something, John. I thought we weren't talking about. I thought we weren't talking about the listener league after last week. I didn't say who won. I took a little bit of a beat down to John. It might have been it was a rough week, but we move on. Listen, hey, that's how it goes sometimes in CFF. I got to tell you, I went 4-1 week one. My only loss was by like 4 points or something. And then I went 1-4 in week two. So you got to ride the wave a little bit. All right, here. Speaking of riding the wave, we're going to go to our All-American best bets of the week here for week three. Before we jump into the bets for this week, we got to do a little bit of recap. We got a 9-0 John Lobb. He has yet to give an incorrect pick on the show to our listeners. I am 11-7 on the show. Gentlemen, I believe I'm up to 18th overall in tally site and have 150 experts picking every game on the slate. And then, Skip, we got you here at 3-2-1. Every week we pick our one game, point spread, over under, and money line. So John, why don't you go ahead and get us started here with your point spread pick of the week?
I'm trying not to get too excited because I am on a little roll, and we all have, anyone who's laid a little bit of money down knows that, you know, you can easily hit a slump. But I love Charlotte. I cannot believe that Charlotte is underdogs against an 0-2 Georgia State, and they look like they're terrible. There's early advantages in college football. Last year it was Coastal Carolina and BYU. I rode those waves very early because Vegas was slow to catch up to those two teams. I like Charlotte a lot. I was impressed when they beat Duke. They had an easy FCS opponent. They took care of business. I'm getting 4 points. I'm picking Charlotte this week.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's a sharp pick right there, John. All right, I'm taking Cincinnati, giving up 1.5 here to Indiana. In what world, gentlemen? What world? Like, what? This is complete disrespect. You're going to put Cincinnati 8th overall in the country. But you line them up against Indiana, and all of a sudden it's a close game. All right, Indiana beat up on the Idaho Vandals last week. That's all right. Week one, 34-6 against Iowa, and they got shredded, right? They got shredded on the ground by Tyler Beatty, and Tyler Beatty is great. Looking ahead here, Tyler Goodson. I got the wrong running back there. Looking ahead here to Cincinnati, I think Jerome Ford can do the same exact thing to him.
I think
Cincinnati is going to really control the game pace. They're going to play through Jerome Ford. Desmond Ridder, he has his ups and his downs, but I think we found that the Indiana defense isn't exactly what we thought it might be going into the season. I think this is an old line. Obviously they said it this week, but it feels like a line that would have been set at the beginning of the preseason here. So I'm happy to take 1.5. I'll give that up from Cincinnati because I think they're going to win by much more than that. All right, Skip, what you got for us on the point spread?
I'm 0-2 in point spread bets. I'm going to make up for it this week. I'm telling you right now, Oklahoma at home giving 22 points against Nebraska. They are going to smash the Cornhuskers. Nebraska's terrible. Oklahoma played a close game in week one against Tulane. They came back in week two and actually throttled their opponents 76-0. That is a ridiculous score over Western Carolina. So I'm going with Oklahoma minus the 22.
All right. I like that. John, over under, what do you got?
We were talking about Phil Jurkovich going down in the news and notes. The backup quarterback for Boston College did not look good. We're not even sure how healthy Zay Flowers is. Temple, I'm going to put it mildly, is bad. How is this over under 58 and a half? I don't think they come close. I thought this was going to be like a 53 over under. I saw 58.5. I hit pay right now on DraftKings, baby. I want that 50. Give me the under. I mean, this is going to be a bad football game.
Yeah, I was eyeing that one too. I think you made a good pick. But John, there is a pretty simple rule on this show, and I got to work it in at least once per week. It's up in my odds here. What do? You look for the UConn game, and you bet against the Huskies, all right? So I'm taking UConn at Army under 51 and a half. And here's my rationale, John. If you look through the first 2 weeks, Army put up 43 against Georgia State and 38 against Western Kentucky. They have yet to put up 52 points, which is an important number because UConn will very likely score 0 points against Fresno State and Purdue. They're two only FBS opponents this season. They have been outscored 94-0. So unless Army can put up 52 points, I'm feeling very comfortable in the under on this game. And Skip, I'll pass it on over to you for your over-under pick.
I'm gambling on two high-scoring teams, Purdue and Notre Dame, going over 58.5. Purdue averaging nearly 40 points per game, Notre Dame averaging almost 37. I like the chances here of this one being a high-scoring game, taking the over.
I like it. John, give us the money line.
Last week, I loved BYU. I had them on the money line as underdogs against Utah. I like toughness. Michigan State is tough. Miami is soft. I'm sorry. When I watch Miami, I've seen nothing. They barely beat Appalachian State. Appalachian State came in and punched them in the mouth. Michigan State, the Spartans are going to double punch them in the mouth. The Spartans are just going to destroy Miami at the line of scrimmage. I don't know how they're underdogs. This is by name only. The Hurricanes are popular nationally, and people think Michigan State is not good because they haven't had recent success. Michigan State is tough. They're going to smack the Hurricanes big time.
I like it. Last week, Mississippi State burned me because I was in on NC State. They didn't get it done, but I got to tell you, the week one, I was like, all right, Mississippi State offense, it kind of looks like it might be something. But the defense showed up last week. They absolutely shut down the Wolfpack, and their offense continued to look good. I thought they played well through adversity. I think Will Rogers is coming through and coming in at his own. So I'm going to take the Bulldogs here, Mississippi State Bulldogs, -160 against the Memphis Tigers, and I feel good about that money line. Skip, take us home here.
John liked BYU last week. I like them this week. They're at home against Arizona State. It's another game against a top 20 team, but I love them as the home underdog, +150. I'll take BYU to win yet again at home and go 3-0.
I like it. I like it. All right here, gentlemen, we're going to finish it out with our DFS section here. So I've put together an early week DFS lineup for DraftKings, and then John is going to finish with his fantastic four here, selections for DFS. All right, running through my slate. Now, looking here at the slate overall, I think this is a week to pay up for the quarterback, and it was refreshing because last week was not a week to pay up for the quarterback. It was a terrible quarterback slate last week on DK, and it is looking like a better slate this week. So I'm willing to pay up for Spencer Rattler at the quarterback position, 9,500. Skip talked about Oklahoma having a high implied scoring total there, so I'm happy about that. Last week, gentlemen, my sleeper of the week, Christian Beal-Smith, he played well. He found the end zone here. At 5,900, I feel like it's a pretty good value. You're going to hear me use the word value a lot because of how much I'm spending up at the quarterback position. I think Travion Henderson at 5,200 is still underpriced. I think that is a really good number for Travion Henderson, who I believe had 14 carries. You saw Ohio State pivot towards him when they needed explosion, when they needed a spark against the Ducks. So I'm not fading Trevion Henderson because of suggested volume here, because I think he's going to do well. This one's a high variable pick. You might want to proceed with caution. But JoJo Earl led the Crimson Tide in receptions last week. He had almost nothing week one. So was it the lower opponent there with Alabama playing? I believe it was Mercer. Or is JoJo Earl really going to step into a high volume role? With Alabama playing Florida, I think they're going to come out, look to pass early. And so we're playing down JoJo Earl at 4,500. Playing Jackson Smith in Jigba here for Ohio State, you're going to see my Ohio State Buckeye stack here as we get to the end of my lineup. Smith and Jigba stepped in and dominated here. We talked about him clearly being the wide receiver three going into week two. Well, he produced at the top of the wide receiver core, and he is priced much, much lower here. So if you want to go in the Buckeyes, you want to save some money, I think you're in a good spot with Jackson Smith and Jigba at 5,500. Mario Williams for Oklahoma didn't make sense at minimum salary last week. He doesn't make sense at 4,100 this week. So I'm going to pair up Mario Williams with Spencer Rattler, much cheaper than paying up for Marvin Mims. 4,100 in the flex spot. Keontae Ingram for USC. Ingram's kind of been flying under the radar. He's not getting the most stats, but he is getting volume here. He's getting high teens carries the first 2 weeks. USC is probably going to be looking to switch things up here, reeling a little bit. And at 5,300 against Washington State, I'd be surprised if Ingram doesn't find the end zone and pay off. And all that value, gentlemen, is because I'm paying up for C.J. Stroud here. Very expensive, $10,000. So this lineup is not going to be for everybody. This is a QB-heavy lineup, and there is absolutely nothing left on the table. We used up every dollar we could. All right, John, take us through your fantastic four here for the main slate on Saturday on DraftKings.
You'll notice something. Both Matt and I like the Buckeyes. It's hard not to like the Buckeyes this weekend. Even though they're coming off a loss, this is about fantasy. My fantastic four to build your lineup around. I'm going to start with Sam Hartman. I do want either Stroud or Rattler. So I'm going to leave that up to the viewers to decide. So I needed to find some value at quarterback. Sam Hartman has scored 20 and 23 points on DraftKings. I like this. An over-under of 62. Wake Forest is favored at home against Florida State, ladies and gentlemen. Florida State just lost to Jacksonville State. I'm sorry. You can't lose to Jacksonville State. I know they're a good FCS opponent. You can't lose that game. So I'm all in on Wake Forest beating Florida State at home. I agree with Matt with Trevion Henderson. 5,200 just seems like too much of a bargain. You feel as you watch the Buckeyes, everyone kind of knows Henderson's the more explosive back, the better talent, but he's still a freshman. You know there's going to be this breakout game coming. 150 yards from scrimmage, 2 touchdowns. I think it's going to happen sooner than later, and this is against Tulsa. It's a good game to give your freshmen a lot of touches, ladies and gentlemen. I like Henderson here. Love Garrett Wilson. He's still underpriced. He's only 6,400. Garrett Wilson is averaging 24 points a game on DraftKings. Love him in this matchup. And if you have not noticed, Matt talked about USC Washington State. And I think people are not going to look at this matchup because they change coaches. Washington State's Washington State. We joked about Jaden Delora last week, right? When were they going to play him? Oh, my God, they finally played him. He had 4 touchdowns. What a miracle. Everyone in the world, Marolovich, knew that Jaden Delora was better. So, who is the beneficiary? Travell Harris, 6 for 80 and 2 touchdowns, scored 26 points. This is a nice over-under, and I like it because the Cougars are home underdogs. Game script says they're going to be throwing in the fourth quarter. That's my fantastic four, everyone.
All right. And, you know, it's interesting. Me and John don't collaborate. We don't talk about these picks ahead of time. And we had some different players, but we picked the same games. So there's definitely particular games to be locked in on. All right, there you have it. That is our week 3 episode of The Blitz, covering news and notes, marvelous matchups, CFF sleepers, best bets, and DFS. I am excited for a week 3 slate. I bet you are as well. Please make sure you're subscribed here to the podcast, and we will be back. Well, I should say Skip and John will be back next week here to recap all the great action here of week 3 and get you ready for week 2 of week 4 of college football. As always,